Welcome back, everybody, to the Cave of Solitude, your pop culture and comic book podcast, coming to you from the mega city metropolis of Toronto. I am your host, Eric Anthony, and for this episode, we are going to do a retrospective of this year's Fan Expo Canada 2018, which I was happy to be in attendance for, and I had a wonderful time. It's a great event to be able to kind of cap off the summer, visit with some artists and writers and creators and some friends that I've made in the industry over the past couple years, catch up with them, other podcasters, and of course it's a great time to meet comic book writers and artists that you're a fan of, not just friends of, but also a fan of. And I gotta say, this year, Kevin Boyd, who is the organizer of the comic book department for Fan Expo, did a great job. He had wonderful guests, a great balance of different types of guests between legends, current professionals, and guys that are on the come up, indie artists and talent that are on the come up. It was a very well balanced show, and Artist Alley was a lot of fun this year. I'm gonna go through a list of all of the people who were in attendance, of not all of the people, but the some of the celebrities, some of the comic book legends that were in attendance, and just kind of give you a 101 as to how you can, if you've never been to Fan Expo before, to even Toronto Comic Con, how you can sort of plan your visit and get the most out of an experience. Because it is, if you're into any sort of fandom, and we all are in one way or the other, Fan Expo is not just a place where people go and dress up in cosplay, and people a lot of times think, oh, this is just a convention for geeky people. Deep down inside, if you like wrestling, if you like science fiction, if you like movies, this is a place for everybody to go to. So I'm going to get into more detail in that. And later on in the show, we're going to have one of our favorite guests, actually our co-host to the, I was going to say Fastball Special, because he's a co-host on the Fastball Special as well as Cave of Solitude, Shane the Sheriff Heron, or Shane the Vegan Heron. We're going to catch up with him, see how the show was for him. He was there with Ricky Lima tabling together beside Casey Parsons. They were selling Cauldron, their new anthology comic book magazine that was created by Ricky, Sam Noir, and Shane Heron. Shane was also selling Morris. He had the Black Hole Hunters Club. So it was really nice to see friends, you know, having gone through a creative phase in the last couple months, seeing all of the things that they've created, and now they're being able to present them to a comic book audience. And of course, Fan Expo has all these other, it's not just a comic book show, there's all these other things that are going down at the show, and it's a great time to be had by all. So I'm going to go, first of all, on the Fan Expo website to kind of go through a list of the celebrities and the comic book guests that were there, just to give you an idea of what you can find at a show like this. So this year, the main theme, I think, was the Back to the Future cast. Now, Back to the Future is probably the one thing I love a little bit more than comics, maybe. I really love my comic books and comic book collection, but nothing speaks to me more than Back to the Future. It was my childhood dream to one day meet Marty McFly and Doc. I'll get into a little more detail on that. They had there was Biff, there was Lorraine, there was Marty, there was Doc. Obviously, that's not the real names. Christopher Lloyd, Marty McFly, Michael J. Fox, Leah Thompson, and now I'm blanking on the name of Biff. Shame on me. Oh, no, Thomas F. Wilson. That's who Biff is, of course. They were all there. They had a panel on Friday night. Fortunately, I wasn't able to attend it. I had prior engagements for a family member was getting married. So, of course, that has to trump my dream of being the Back to the Future cast. But that's okay, because the rest of the show was fantastic. Also, you had Jason Momoa, who's obviously Aquaman in the Justice League movie and is going to star in his own Justice League, or in his own Aquaman solo film coming up, as well as the cast of The Princess Bride, who we often talk about that movie on both the Fastball Special and the Cave of Solitude. We love The Princess Bride. That cast was there. Karen Gillan from Guardians of the Galaxy, she plays Nebula, she was there. wrestlers were there: Triple H, The Miz, AJ Styles, Charlotte Flair, Ric Flair's daughter. Yeah, that's right. Who else was there? Let me take a look here. Instead of me listing them off the top of my head. So I mentioned Evangeline Lilly from Ant-Man and the Wasp. Paul Wesley from The Vampire Diaries. Lucy Lawless, Xena Warrior Princess. Rob Schneider from Saturday Night Live. So you really get a... I'm not going to go through every name here, but if you notice, you really get a mix of genre in regards to the people that attend. William Shatner was there. Richard Dean Anderson, MacGyver, and the actor from Stargate. Actors and actresses from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers were there. I mentioned the cast of Princess Bride already. Some of the actors from Gotham were there. Robin Lord Taylor, who plays the Penguin on Gotham. Walking Dead actors were there. Austin Emilio, Tom Payne, Billy Zane from Titanic, Gary Lockwood from 2001 Space Odyssey. So, I mean, it's a real good... I'm not going to say smorgasbord, but it's a real good blend of people from all different genres and television shows. And then when you get into the comic guests that you've got there, let me look at that list really quick. This year, of course, the main comic guest that was the legend of the show was John Byrne, who, I mean... when you look at his name there on the list of people, it just says legend, and that goes without saying. The things that John Byrne has created in comic books have left a permanent mark in the industry. You think of the X-Men, you think of the Fantastic Four, Superman, She-Hulk, Prince Namor, Iron Man, Captain America. He's done it all, and the stuff that he's worked on, it's usually top-tier work. I'm not saying everything he's made has been the absolute best, but a good portion of what he's created, written, and drawn, it's insane. Just his prolificacy in the business is incredible. And when he was given a book to really take the reins on back in his heyday of creating comics, I mean, I'll get into it more when I'm going to post the footage that I had from his panels later on. But you'll really get a sense of his legendary status. Scott Snyder, a DC comic book writer, best known for his work on Batman, DC Metal, and his partner in crime, Greg Capullo, were both there again. Legendary artist Art Adams, he's more known for his cover work in comic books. If you ever ventured to a comic book shop, they most likely had an Art Adams poster in the comic shop. That's how well known his work is. Andy Kubert, again, he's the son of legendary comic book pioneer, Joe Kubert. When I say pioneer, think of creators like Jack Kirby, Steve Ditko, Will Eisner. He's in that upper echelon of comic book legend. His son, Andy Kubert, was there, who has also made quite a name for himself in the last 35 years in comic books, doing everything from the X-Men to Batman. I think he's done just about everything. I can't even, if I go off the top of my head, I'll be here for too long trying to remember everything he's done. David Finch, famous Batman artist as well as Avengers artist. Umberto Ramos, who is best known for his work on The Flash, Spider-Man, as well as most recently I'm thinking of The Champions and Impulse. He co-created Impulse with Mark Waid, if I'm not mistaken. And current superstar Tom King. I mean, if you want to go to the comic book shop now not knowing what to read and you want to pick up a book that you don't have to really know 30 years, 50 years worth of history, go into any comic book shop and ask for Omega Men, ask for The Vision, ask for Mr. Miracle. His stuff is absolutely stellar. Great storyteller, great writer. He's the current writer on Batman. So if you want to read Batman now, he's the guy who's taking the reins on that book. Nick Spencer, who is the current writer of The Amazing Spider-Man. If maybe you heard of a story recently of Captain America becoming an agent of Hydra, well, Nick Spencer was the guy who wrote that book. I got a chance to meet him. Really nice guy who also did a panel on Spider-Man legend Steve Ditko, who recently passed away. So that was that's other footage that I'll be able to bring to you. Ed McGuinness was there, the artist on The Avengers. Francesco Francesco Mattina, who's a famous cover artist in comic books. Jason Fabok, we've had him on the show. If you go into our archives, he was one of our earliest interviews. Me and Martin Slam Duncan were able to interview him twice, which was a real treat. Super nice guy, and always nice to see him with a long lineup at these shows. Who else was there? Local star Mike Del Mundo, who is currently drawing Thor. He was he's the artist on Thor with Jason Aaron, I think, is still the writer. And he recently did a run on The Avengers with Mark Waid. So he's really making a name for himself. One of my favorite writers currently in comic books who, again, if you want to go to a comic book shop and you're not sure what to pick up, ask for a book from Jeff Lemire. This guy writes everything from Marvel, DC, Valiant, Image Comics, his own creator-owned titles from both Image Comics, Dark Horse, trying to think of what other companies he's worked. He's pretty much working on everything with everybody. He's extremely prolific, extremely talented, and his output is not only that he's got a lot of books out there, the quality of the books is phenomenal. So I would put maybe him and Tom King in the same category as two of the top-tier writers in the last 5 to 10 years in comic books. Everything they're doing is worth reading. Peter Tomasi, the current or the previous writer on Superman, as well as Batman and Robin, who did some really great storytelling in both of those books. And then, of course, those are the superstar names, as it were, of people who are there. And then, of course, you've got local talent, as well as, again, these are more superstars that I think I'm looking here. There's Marguerite Bennett, who I was able to interview for the show. I'm going to put that episode together for you guys. Jim Zub, another fantastic artist and writer who's working for Marvel doing the Champions. He just finished a run on The Avengers, which I got a chance to interview him as well. Another comic book legend, Tom Grumman. If you read comic books in the 90s, early 2000s, he was part of the team that was doing the art for the death of Superman. For Robin, the solo title featuring Tim Drake. He also did Teen Titans with Geoff Johns during that fantastic run. So again, I could be here for way too long. Dale Keown, famous artist for The Hulk. Leonard Kirk. I mean, we really got to send a shout out to Kevin Boyd, who is so good at putting together these shows, getting a well-balanced group of people to be in Artist Alley. Chris Campagna, who may not be the biggest star at Marvel and DC, but who's a fantastic artist. He was able to do a commission for me at the show. He's got a couple of Kickstarters on the go right now. Check that out from Chris. It's not Campagna. I'm saying you're wrong. Chris Campana. He told me that he's not actually Hispanic. He's Italian, so I'm saying his name wrong. Shame on me. But that's just the lineup. I think I've been going through a lineup for about 10 minutes, which is kind of ridiculous. But that's how good the package was for this show. When you're going, there's going to be something there for you to enjoy regardless what you're into. Me being strictly into the comic book aspect of these shows, I had a wonderful time. And the panels that I was able to attend, I went to a Tom King panel, which unfortunately I won't be able to share because he asked me not to post it. I would love to, but I can tell you about it. And maybe if you're a friend of mine, if you want me to send it to you, I can maybe privately send it to you. So you can listen to it, but don't share it. There was a Steve Ditko Memorial panel that featured Blake Bell, Nick Spencer, Steve Manale. Blake Bell was a person who followed the career of Steve Ditko, and I think he did a biography on the career and life of Steve Ditko, who has recently passed away. And if you don't know who Steve Ditko is, he was the co-creator of The Amazing Spider-Man with Stan Lee. As well, Nick Spencer, as I mentioned, is the current writer of The Amazing Spider-Man. So hearing them talk about the legacy of a man who really left... I mean, Spider-Man is one of the most recognizable characters in the world. So to lose the creator of that character, who... Steve Ditko not only came up with the concept of Spider-Man with Stan Lee, he wrote the first 3 years of it. And in those 3 years, basically everything we know and love about Spider-Man was established then and really came from the imagination and pencils of Steve Ditko. So to kind of break down, this panel kind of breaks down his career, his style of work, his philosophies that went into his work, and some of the things that would influence the decisions he made in regards to the things he would create later on or wouldn't create or be a part of later on was very, very interesting. I enjoyed that panel a lot more than I imagined. I'm going to also post that one for you guys. There's the DC Nation panel, which was a lot of fun because Dan DiDio, the editor or the main publisher of DC Comics, is the one who hosts the panel, and he's got so much energy and so much love for the fans. He really cares about the input from the fans, and it's kind of fun because he not only wants the Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo, Jason Fabok, who else was on that? Jock was on that panel, as well as Tom King. So it was a loaded panel. They had a lot of news and things to get you excited for, things to look out for in the comic shop in the next couple of months, and a lot of feedback and interaction with the fans. So that was a really fun panel to be a part of. And then later in the day on Saturday, I was able to go to a spotlight of Andy Kubert, a panel with, I forget the gentleman who hosted it. He actually hosted the Steve Ditko panel as well. And that was a really good panel, one-on-one, small group of people. So we got to ask some questions. Everyone got a chance to basically ask a question in that panel. So sometimes it's nice to be a part, as much as you want it to be, the room to be filled in order to make it more lively and active and show appreciation to the creator. Sometimes when not as many people show up, you get a chance to get a little more personal with the creator as well. And then, like I said before, John Byrne, I went to two of his panels, which were a real treat. So great lineup, great panels, well organized for such a large crowd. And I strongly recommend anybody to go to this show if you can. Now, here are some of the cons to the con. The Back to the Future panel was a big deal. And never before had I seen an extra charge going towards attending a panel after you've paid your entrance fee. And this one was a $20 extra fee in order to get a ticket to go to this panel. And it wasn't even guaranteed like good seats. You were last one in. So the line would have been extremely hectic to get into. And if you wanted to meet Marty McFly or Michael J. Fox or any other stars from the show, they sold packages for that. And I'll get into the prices a little bit later on. I never got a chance to attend this panel, which was unfortunate. I would have liked to, but I was a little discouraged at the fact that I would have had to pay an extra $20 on top of the price that I paid to get into the show, which isn't, again, it's not cheap. Well, I'll go into the prices a little bit later on. Again, another thing on my con list, the general admission to the show can be pricey. Said that already. And of course, this is just a pet peeve for me. This isn't anything wrong directly with the show. It's good business. But much like San Diego, much like New York Comic Con, Fan Expo Canada, there's a big focus on the celebrities. That's the draw, right? These are the people who draw the crowd to come in. And as wonderful as that is, it does take a little bit of the focus and the energy away sometimes from what these shows were originally about, which is the comics. Now, I felt that the comic books were definitely well represented in the show. Not saying that it wasn't a great show for comic-centric fans, but the celebrity aspect of it does increase the price to the show. It makes the show a little less accessible at times, which for me, when the show gets a little too big for itself, it's a good thing because it's high profile. But then for the longtime fans who've been going there back when there was only 3 days to the Fan Expo, it becomes a little bit more burdensome, or the crowds can become exhausting. So those are some of the things to kind of be prepared for if ever you do want to come to these shows. So how do you plan a con weekend? I got a lot of people who know that I go to the Fan Expo. I love telling people about it. I look forward to it every year, as well as Toronto Comic Con. I have a great time because you do get to see and interact with a lot of people who like the same things as you. You discover a lot of different things. It's great for shopping if you're looking for some things to add to your collection, whether you're a toy collector, video game collector, comic book collector, whatever the case may be. There's something there for everybody. And then, of course, if you like me, I like old-time wrestlers. So the year that Bret the Hitman Hart was there, I was really excited to see him. And if you like certain movies or different genres of, the sci-fi world, there's all kinds of different things there for you. So people often ask, I want to go to this thing, but I got nobody there. I got no one there to go with me. What day should I go? What time should I show up? How much are the tickets? So I want to take a moment in the next maybe 10 minutes or so to kind of break down how to plan going to one of these shows if you've never been before, or maybe you have been and it was a little bit overwhelming because maybe you went one day and you didn't get as much done as you would have liked. So first question is, you got to ask yourself, what are you personally into genre-wise? So if you were to look at the schedule of the panels that they have at this show, or the points of interest that bring people into the show, people often think this is Comic-Con. It is and it isn't, because this is a show where if you're a big Doctor Who fan, you can come to this show and just do Doctor Who things. That's it. It's just a focus on, it almost could be a Doctor Who con if you wanted it to be. If you like Star Wars, if you like Star Trek, if you like the horror genre, if you like video games, animation, if you're into gaming, not just video gaming, but they had a giant Catan stand for people to get into Catan tournaments while you're there. If you like Game of Thrones, this is the place for you to come to and meet your favorite star or have a panel discussing these different genres. Of course, for me, like I said, I like coming here specifically for the comic-related stuff. So you got to say, what is it that I want to see? What am I going there for? Wrestlers? Wrestlers were there. They had a whole section just about that. So you got to ask yourself, what do I want to see? And how many days do I want to be able to go there? Because if you want to go for one day, that's another factor that can affect your experience. How do I do it? Well, I used to go for one day. I used to go maybe on a Friday or on a Saturday. And as much as I would enjoy it, I really didn't. The day went by very fast, and I really didn't get to do too many things with a one-day ticket, or when I would buy tickets for separate days, because it's really a roll of the dice when you do that. You buy a ticket. Here are the prices for a single-day admission. They start at $25 a day on a Thursday, and Thursday is from 4 to 9 p.m. at night. So you buy your ticket, and you could be waiting in line for a few hours to get in. Now, the doors will open at 4 o'clock for general admission, but there's a large crowd of people that are trying to get in. You only got 5 hours to either shop or to see something. There aren't too many panels on Thursday, but it is a good day to start the show if you've bought a ticket to do it and you may be going there for multiple days. It's a great day to shop in the sense that everything you're looking for will be there. You're not getting the last little bit of stuff that's there. Now, you won't be able to strike as much of a deal on Thursday, but if you want to shop, you've got your pick of the litter. It's also a good day to meet some of the artists in Artist Alley. Some of them won't be there yet. Some of them won't show up until Friday or Saturday, but a lot of them will already be there. The crowd is a little bit smaller. I know I said there's a lineup of people going in, but the crowd is a little bit smaller, and you might be able to get in a panel that day. But the day will be over very quick. That's a $25 day. Friday, I think it jumps up to $40 to get in on Friday. Let me double check that for you just so I'm not speaking out of turn. So Friday is actually $40 in advance, $45 at the door. Friday is a bit of a longer day. It opens up at 9:30 in the morning. If I'm not mistaken, 9:30, 10 o'clock, and it finishes at around 6. There's a lot more activity on a Friday, a lot more panels to see. in the evening, they'll have usually, like I said, the Back to the Future reunion panel was on Friday evening. So Friday's really when you feel the con really get started and things are in gear. And it's a great day to see the artists in Artist Alley because most of them will be there. So if you want a commission, maybe you have a sketchbook or not, you'll be able to kind of have, you know, your pick of the litter when it comes to more of the artists being there. And remember, for them, this they want to draw. This is business for them. This is, they need the income. Some of these guys are freelance artists, so coming to these shows is the way that a lot of them are going to pay the bills for the month. And you'll find a great, go down the line, you'll find some great artists who will put together something really, really special for you. So Friday's a good day to do things like that. And of course, like I said, still a lot of shopping to do, a lot more panels. They've got things like escape rooms, Harry Potter escape rooms, Doctor Who escape rooms. They've got video game tournaments. They've got speed dating. They have, I can't even go through everything that they've got. They've got anime panels. They've got voice actor panels, cosplay panels. I got a list here of some of the different things you can look for. Actor spotlights, creator workshops, artist sketch duels, comic creator spotlights, entertainment and publishing announcement and premieres that they have on days like this. It really, those type of things start on Friday, but it may not be the one that you're hoping to see because it's just not on the schedule yet. So those are some of the things you've got to kind of consider when you're deciding on the day that you want to attend the con. Now, Saturday, that's the big day. That's where all the action is happening. That's where all the celebrities are going to be there and ready to do photo ops and signings. And all of the artists and creators, writers and artists are going to be there on that day to sign your books. Saturday's the day where 80,000 plus people come to the show. You're really going to get the sense of a crowd on that day. So if you show up on a Saturday to buy a ticket on site, you might be waiting quite a bit of time to get in through the line, to buy the ticket and to get into the show. You'll get in, but you're going to lose some time doing that. I've done it in the past, and I used to find a lot of my day was getting eaten up by waiting in those lineups. It's better now than it once was, but it can be a little bit of a drag. It can ruin your day, and it's a $60, $65 at the door to get in. It's quite a bit of money. And like I said, everything that you're hoping to see and find is happening on Saturday, but that's when the crowd is there. I had a great time on Saturday because the panels that I got to attend, I went to four different panels that day. They're all an hour long. Different people, different topics. Time flies by. I get to record it for the show. I get to share it with you guys because I want people to enjoy it. And so you're thinking, why do I got to go to the show? You're going to record it and just share it with me. There's a lot of stuff I don't get to see. There's a lot of things that I don't get a chance to record or know if it was any good. So the panels on Saturday are phenomenal. And it also is a good day to meet and greet with artists if you want to. Now, Sunday, it's kind of like a Thursday in a way. There are still really good panels, but things wrap up pretty quickly. After maybe 2, 3 o'clock, you really start to feel the show wind down. People have left early. A lot of the artists and writers might be there till 1, and you can already see them packing up because they got a flight to catch, go back to LA, go back to New York, or wherever it is that they live. So it's hit or miss on Sunday, but it's a great day to shop because you're really going to be able to wheel and deal with the vendors because they don't want to bring a lot of the stuff they brought with them home. They want to get rid of it. That's why they brought it there. So that'll be a great day to shop, but you're risking whether or not something may or may not be there. So Sunday's a $50 day at the door. So if you add that up, $30 at the door on a Thursday, $45 at the door on a Friday, $65 on a Saturday, $45, $50 on Sunday, you're closing in on $200. Without really thinking about it too much. If you go for all those days, of course. If you're going for a single day, it's still quite pricey. Personally, I now go for all 4 days because I am a big fan and I really get to take my time, enjoy the show, interact with people. I get a chance to interview artists. I don't feel rushed and I get to enjoy the panel on whatever day it might be without having to worry about missing it. What does a 4 day pass cost? Well, if you added up those 4 days there, it's $120 for a deluxe pass, 4 days. You save a lot of money than if you were to buy single day passes trying to go when you're at the door. So my suggestion would be buy the pass in advance. If you're going for 1 day, buy it in advance just the same. And even have the bracelet mailed to you. It might cost a little bit more money. It might cost $20 to get it mailed to you. You'll save the time. When I buy a 4 day pass, I get a quicker lineup to get into the line to get my bracelet. And I also get quicker access to get into the building on all 4 days. I get in 2 hours earlier on the Thursday, which you almost get a much emptier floor. And every other day, you get a priority access to get in because you have the black wristband, which if you plan to go for more than 1 day, I would highly suggest getting that because it just makes your life easier. Time is money, and that's the one thing you can't get back. So if you want to shop at these shows, just make sure that you look around, right? If for myself, I did a little bit of shopping. I bought a couple books. I got a commission done. I look around, see what places have deals. A lot of these places, you can find the thing you want right away and buy it right away. Just know that a lot of times, another place will have it. Unless they're selling some type of weaponry, like people sell like model swords. There's certain people who that's what they specialize in. But when it comes to books, when it comes to toys, when it comes to single issue comic books and souvenirs, take a look around and see what people have got there. You'll get the most for your money and you'll oftentimes find something better than that first table that you run into and think, oh, this is the best deal in the world. You might end up disappointing yourself because you find at another table they've got it for $10 instead of the $30 that you were ready to pay, believe it or not. What other tidbits can I share with you? If you go to this show, the best way to enjoy it is panels, panels, panels. Some people really want to meet their heroes, and that's all good. Personally, myself, I don't have interest in it. I'm gonna go back to what I was saying to you before about some of the actors who come. So you pay to get into the show. I paid $120, $125 for a 4 day pass. If you go on a Saturday, you're paying $60, $65 at the door, depending on how you planned it to go there. Now, if you think you're going to go and meet Michael J. Fox, or if you think that you're going to go and meet cast members from Game of Thrones, you're going to be disappointed because you can't just walk into a line or just walk up to them and shake their hand and take a picture. It will cost you upwards of $150 to $200 to get a photo op with them. It's very organized and it's very pricey. So you don't just walk up to them and do it. You got to buy it in advance, and then you got to line up for sometimes a couple of hours to get your turn to meet them. You get your turn, you get your signature, you get your picture, and you're out of there because those guys are only there for a certain amount of time, and then they may have to go to a panel, and that's about it. So lining up, even for comic artists, some of the comic artists are charging signatures now. There was Neil Adams, who's a very legendary artist as well, who did not extensive work, but who really made his mark drawing Batman in the 70s, Green Arrow and Green Lantern. Wonderful, talented artist. He charges $50 for a signature if you didn't buy it from his table. Most artists and writers do not charge for signatures, or they'll have a limit of 3 for free. The next one is $3 after that because, again, this is a weekend where they're trying to get paid as well. Because in this day and age, people sometimes only buy a comic so that they can treat it as an investment and sell it because it's a number one or it's a collector's item. And these artists have gotten savvy to that and are now charging for specific issues even. If you go to a certain artist with a specific Spider-Man issue, that specific issue that most people want signed, they'll charge $20 just for that issue. $5 for any other one. So it's good to know these things, because I see some people at some of the tables where they're selling comics, and they see the post-it notes on it that says, get this book signed. Artist is here. And people are just ready to buy any of those. Oh, who? That guy's here. I can buy this book. Who is he? Where is he? Where can I get it signed? And if it's on a Sunday, that guy might not be there no more. So it's important for you to kind of do a little bit of your homework. Be aware of kind of what's going on around you, because you can really get swept up in all of the excitement and things that are going on. So just know, going into this, you will pay for any celebrity that you want to meet. So I would recommend going to the panel where you can hear them actually talk. You can perhaps ask a question and even take photos of them from there. That would be my best advice for that. Now, you want to hear from the people on the other side of the table? Well, I just had a conversation this afternoon with good buddy Shane Heron. So from here on out to the end of the episode, we are going to be chit-chatting with our good buddy Shane, who was at the show with Ricky Lima, selling his goods. He's going to tell us a little about his experience at this show this year and some of the other shows that he's been to. And then as we conclude this episode, what will be coming up in rapid succession, I hope, I want to put them out there for you guys. You're going to have a lot of content from this year's Fan Expo 2018. I've got panels recorded, and I was able to ask a question in almost every panel, so you'll hear my voice. I had interviews with Jim Zub, the artist and writer of, well, mainly the writer of books such as The Avengers. I mentioned it before. I got a chance to chat with him for a good chunk of time at a show. Marguerite Bennett, who is the writer of books such as Batwoman, DC Bombshells, as well as Animosity. And I also got to chat with upcoming superstar Casey Parsons, who was part of the team that brought you Cauldron. And he was tabling this year for the first time in a few years. So I got a chance to catch up and talk with him as well. So without further ado, we were going to close off this show with none other than our good buddy Shane Heron. Don't forget to email us at caveofsolitude@outlook.com. If you have any more questions about the show, feel free to email me. I had the privilege of being able to actually be interviewed about Artist's Alley this year. You can find that article on the Fan Expo website talking about Artist's Alley 101 and kind of some of the things to look out for, people to look out for. The show is done now, but it was really, really nice treat to be a part of that experience as well. So next year, whether it's in March or next August, the show will always fall on the last week or Labor Day weekend. So you can plan ahead, kind of get an idea what the show will be like. It is worth going, but you do got to plan it in advance. And if you do like any of the things I mentioned, you're going to have a blast there. It's a lot of fun. Without further ado, take it away, Mr. Heron.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we are here with none other than artist extraordinaire and friend of the show, Mr. Shane Heron. Shane Heron, welcome back.
Hi, Eric.
So this week
you're gonna call me the sheriff. You always call me the sheriff.
I don't know, because I'm gonna call you the sheriff, or it might change to the vegan now. What do you think, Shane the vegan?
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, I like it. I'm going full vegan now. Like I just did it Labor Day weekend.
Labor Day weekend was. I thought it was the one where we did the chicken wings.
No, but I was still like eating fish for a bit, which I still might go back to in a bit. But for the next little bit, it's gonna be full vegan. We're testing it out and see how it goes.
So what is your favorite vegan meal so far?
I don't know. I've been to a lot of good vegan restaurants recently. I'll just talk about the last one I went to. It's called Grasshopper in the Junction. I had this quinoa mac and cheese with like fake pulled pork on top.
It was, like, I love made how of, like, everything. Fake pulled pork or fake chicken.
Well, that's, I mean, like, if you just say, like, seitan meat, like, imitation meat, people don't know what that is, but you say it's, like, tastes like pulled pork. Uh-huh. It tastes as good as pulled pork, but no pig was murdered.
Right on.
So that was pretty good. That was really, really good. Yeah, that's it. I mean, we don't want to ramble on about vegan stuff too much.
No, but you know what? It's good to know different places to eat in the city, especially if you have... If you're going full vegan, a lot of people will say, like, well, why would you want to eat that? But if it tastes as good as the other one and it's a healthier choice, hey, why not?
Yeah, and it's not always necessarily healthier, but I mean, morally, it's better too, right? Like sometimes it's like a lot of these like sort of cheese alternatives, and they're like saucy and stuff. So it's not necessarily like better for you. It's very high calorie and fat, but it's if you want to eat a nice fucking good meal, it's delicious.
Right on. So this episode that the people are listening to are doing a recap of the recent Toronto Fan Expo Canada. I'm not supposed to say Toronto. It's just Fan Expo Canada. Did you know that?
Like, who cares?
I know. But when you cover the show, you have to make sure you say Fan Expo Canada, not Toronto, Canada. So at this year's 2018 Fan Expo Canada. Well, how did the show go for you? Because you table at these shows. You don't go there so much as a fan and a person buying comics and things like that. You're actually working. So how did it go for you?
It went very well, actually. I would say very successful. And all the other artists I talked to actually seemed to agree. I don't think I know anyone who really had, like, not a great show. So, yeah, it was great. We had the new Cauldron magazine, our first issue of our fantasy horror anthology, and it sold really well.
Really? That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And you also got Morris on your table, Black Hole Hunters Club on the table. So, like, the wares that you have on your table now, it's, like, becoming a lot more diverse and full. Like, how did it feel to see all these different things that you have published?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool. I mean, there's also still surprised sometimes when people buy. Like, we did sell quite a handful of Black Hole Hunters Club, which we haven't put out a new issue in 2 years now. But we have the trades and stuff. So people still bought it, and it's kind of surprising to me sometimes, but nice. But I think I think it's almost – sometimes it's easier to sell stuff if you don't have such a diverse amount of books.
Okay.
Because, if I have – like, people are sort of like – when they're buying some of a show, they're not just buying your product. They're buying their product and they're buying it to you. Mm-hmm. And they like you. So you think that if you have a bunch of different types of books, say a sci-fi, a romance, a horror, and then if you – you know, someone comes over and they go like, I like this type of thing. And you go, oh, I have the right thing for you. It doesn't really work like that. Like, people don't really seem interested in like a diverse sort of thing. I mean, sometimes it works for that, but most people, they're just buying you. So they're like, listen, like, I love Westerns. You do a Western book, I'll buy it. And people that don't want that book, they don't want it. It's fine. But like, I feel like it's easier to sell one or two things as opposed to seven different types of books.
Right. So over the years of you doing shows like this, what have you found is kind of like the key to attracting people over to your table? Because there's tons of it's sensory overload, right? There's stuff everywhere. So how do you find to at least break even or to make these shows successful for you? What is the key for you guys?
One thing is just I've been tabling with Ricky, who's if you guys don't know Ricky Lima, that's my partner on Black Hole Hunters Club. He is a very nice, big, friendly, giant man, and he knows like everyone knows him, which is kind of cool. And he just kind of taught me to sort of be a bit more outgoing, just, you know, greet people, say hi. That's like the number one thing, because there's a lot of people that they have bad body language. They just don't make eye contact. So it's just once people come over to your table, you don't have to give them a salesman pitch. You don't have to be like crazy eager. Just like greet them and encourage them to sort of look through your books. It definitely helped. Like, I've read a bunch of stuff about doing cons, and they also say, like, you know, height is a key thing. So that's why people build these big walls of prints and stuff like that. So if you can build stuff on your table and you get it a bit higher, people can kind of see it a bit over a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Which we don't go crazy, but this is the first year I got have a banner with my name on it.
Yeah, that was cool.
I was like the only one who didn't have one, so I decided to get one because everyone just thinks I'm sitting at Ricky Lima's table. So yeah, there's things like that, but the main thing is just like just encourage people to look through your books. I think our books look really good, really polished. I get Paris Aline to color most of my covers, which his stuff is so good, it makes it really pop. And if you have a really good product, people will want to pick it up. And if they pick it up, half the time they're going to buy it because they start flipping through it. And as long as it's a decent product, they probably want it.
Right. So you said before that most of the people that you've talked to said that they had a really successful show this year. What do you think there was something in the air? What do you think it was about this particular show that everybody left in a really, really positive headspace. Like even on Facebook, everybody's got all kinds of love that they're sending out. What do you think it was about this year?
Yeah, I don't know exactly because I'm kind of oblivious to all the stuff that goes on at shows like that. Like we just mostly stick to our table. But I know Kev Boyd, who runs the comic section of Fan Expo, has been really trying to make like he's the kind of guy that really wants to try and please everyone, even though that's impossible. But he's really doing. You can see that he's really like, you know, trying to listen to feedback, trying to make the best shows possible. So maybe it's stuff that he's doing right, which I'm not super aware of. But I know, you know, John Byrne was a huge get for them this year.
Yeah.
And that's such a big name, and you can't see him at any other show. So maybe that was huge because it wasn't just a big guest. It wasn't like a just like a Jeff Goldblum, but you know, John Byrne brings in comic book people too, right? Like the old guys who want comic book stuff. So maybe that had something to do with it. I also know that I didn't partake, but I know Sam Noir, Ricky Lima, Andrew Stevenson, a bunch of these guys went to these, in the summer they had Fan Expo focus groups.
Oh, okay.
They talked to the Artist Alley people. I think, did you go to one or no?
No, I saw a message on Kevin's Facebook page where he said anybody who wants to, likes being interviewed and talking about comics, give me your info. So I sent them, I'm like, hey, I like doing that sort of thing. What do you need help with? And then somebody, a reporter or a journalist, they were doing a write-up about Fan Expo Artist Alley. So they wanted somebody, I guess, who had frequented enough comic shows in Toronto to give them the 101. So that's how I got that opportunity.
Yeah.
So I would have loved to go to a focus group. That's awesome. But I mean, I got no real skin in the game like you guys do. So
I don't know. Like I didn't go to these, but also thank you for the shout outs, by the way.
Oh, no problem.
People listening on their website for Fan Expo, they featured a thing about Artist Alley and what to look for. And Eric was featured prominently and recommended a bunch of us artists to go check out. And also they asked Sean Daly from the artist perspective, and basically he recommended almost all the same people, which we were included. So it's pretty cool, actually. So that also maybe helped us quite a bit.
Did you find that you guys had a little bit more traffic this year?
I don't know. It's hard to tell from show to show, but it definitely, Fan Expo is a busy show.
Uh-huh.
They pack the house. Like I know, especially on the Saturday, it's always, like there's always stories about the fire marshal showing up and sort of stop letting people in for a bit because it usually just gets so crazy. So, I mean, that's always a good sign. Whether those people are there to see Michael J. Fox or to see comic book stuff, you pack the place with enough people and there's going to be people walking by your table.
Right.
And that's a good opportunity to make new fans and sell your books. So, yeah, I don't know. It was a really good show, and something's really working, I think. I also noticed Ricky pointed this out, as Artist Alley guys, usually at the end of the day at the show, they make an announcement and it's wrapped up. And then they'll have the security guys just wandering around, just kicking everybody out. Just like, get out. And you're just trying to pack up your table or, you know, you're going for dinner with a friend and he's packing up his table and you're just waiting for him in the alley. And they're just on you like, go wait outside. Go. And it's just really, really irritating.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they brought that up at those focus groups. And I noticed this year they were a lot more chill. So maybe they did actually, maybe those really paid off. Maybe they went and said like, guys, like don't give these people a minute to pack up their tables and like, you know, cause they paid for these tables, they're exhibitors.
Right.
They shouldn't feel so hostile trying to like run their show and run their table.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know.
Great answer. So
I don't know anything. How about that?
Yeah. So you guys have done a number of shows this year. You did the Toronto Comic Con, you did Niagara Falls Comic Con, now Fan Expo. Did you do another one? Did you guys end up in Sarnia? Or did
we
that?
We did do Sarnia.
You
yeah.
did do. It,
yeah,
I remember it was the weekend.
The Ice Storm weekend.
That's right. So
yeah, it was. I drove there with Sam Noir, who was just dangerous behind the wheel, and an ice storm is even worse. But we made it. Like I know, even Jason Liu was supposed to pick up Ricky, and they just decided not to come because it was just really, really dangerous on the roads. But somehow, a bunch of the raid guys and Sam and I all ended up. We made it to Sarnia, and then it was a 1-day show, and it was still an ice storm. And it somehow, I mean, it was definitely less people than normal, but it, man, people really support that show because it was a packed house still.
Right.
Sarnia is like, I always sing the praises of Sarnia show, run by Trent Rogers, who, he has a store out there called Future Pastimes, and they're just like the nicest guys on earth.
Mm-hmm. So overall, these last couple shows, how have they been for you guys this year? You're not doing any more, are you, for the rest of the year?
No. Well, there's that one day Christmas show that we'll probably do in Toronto, the 10 days or whatever it's called. I don't have anything really planned unless I'm missing something. But no, mostly we're setting up sort of a local tour of Cauldron. So like next week, we're going to be at Paradise. We'll do the Comic Connection in Oakville, Stadium at some point in Brampton, and a couple other ones. But yeah, that's basically what we're doing right now.
Okay. So I guess what I ask you about all those other shows, because how does Fan Expo compare to those ones as far as tabling goes? I know it's bigger. I know the size and the amount of people that are in there. But what's something that's distinct about this show in comparison to the other ones?
Well, I would say Fan Expo is not different than the March Comic Con, which is run by the same company. Mm-hmm. And I feel like March kind of kicks off the con season while Fan Expo sort of wraps it up in a way.
Okay.
Those are very similar, except March is a little bit smaller, one day less, but you get the same exact sort of crowd.
Okay.
Niagara, I thought, was actually a really, really bad show.
Okay.
They get a lot of people out. I don't know. They get a lot of people out there, but they're all there to see sort of all the B-list actors and the wrestlers and stuff like that. And I mean, it's kind of frustrating at Niagara because like we didn't. I mean, I think I made money at the show, but it just was kind of disheartening a lot of it because one of my sales tactics is just getting people to encourage them to pick up my book and look through it. And while they're flipping through it, I tell them a little bit about it. And some often they go, "Oh, that sounds cool. I'll pick it up," or "No, thank you." And they put it back and walk away. I couldn't even get people to flip through the book. Like no one was even interested in comic books. It was just like, I don't know. It was a weekend in Niagara, which I mean, you can always have fun in Niagara, but
right.
it's sort of a weird crowd out there. Cause they got this sort of like downtown Niagara is this like sort of like crappy Atlantic City vibe. And then the rest of it, like no one really sees the rest of it. And like the people that live there, it's all just sort of like really small town. It's not a great crowd. So, I forgot Ricky warned me about Niagara because we did it a few years ago and we weren't super pleased with it then. And then we did it again this year because I had Morris and I wanted to do a bunch of shows. And then I just realized I was like, fuck, I forgot this show is not so great.
Yeah. I've been to that show once, and I guess it's good from a fan perspective that you've got good access to some of the people who are there. You're not as rushed or pressed for, like, the crowd isn't overwhelming, but it's similar to, I think it's the same people who run the Hamilton Comic Con, and there's a certain, lack of life in them. I'm not sure if it's the venue or the layout, but, I know what you mean. So I guess being in a major metropolitan area like Toronto, and it's the third biggest in North America. Am I correct in saying that? I don't know if you know.
Third or fourth. I know bigger than that is New York and San Diego, and I think C2E2 is bigger. But other than that, I think it's the net. Or I've never been to C2E2. Maybe it's comparable. It's one of the big ones in North America, that's for sure.
Okay. So after a weekend like that, you're there for 4 days. You got the little after parties with some of the artist friends that you know. What's the recuperating time for you?
Oh man, I just took all Sunday night and all Monday morning just to sort of like decompress and get my bearings back again. Because as good as of a show as Fan Expo is, it's a long show.
Uh-huh.
4 days is it's a lot because you got to be on the whole time. And
right.
People think you're just – a lot of people think I'm just going to party and have a blast at a show. Which,
yeah.
I mean, there's some fun stuff going on, but you're there at a table and you're selling your books. And you're, so you got to be on.
Right.
You're sketching. You're working. If you're not there, you're probably at someone else's table, you know, talking about maybe getting a publishing deal or something like that. And then you go out to these after parties where – yes, they're fun and you want to let loose, but it's also like there's a lot of guys there that you don't want to get too drunk and make a fool of yourself, or you want to
right.
get to know them a bit better or something like that. So you're kind of on the whole 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really restful too, because I know I have, like, Ricky always stays over, and we had another friend kind of stay over at my place who was out of town, and like it's just like there's no real downtime for 4 days. So by the Sunday, I'm usually like pretty done, and I want to get out of that con.
Right. Okay. So before we wrap up, what was the weirdest sketch that someone had you do for them this weekend?
I didn't actually do a lot of sketches, so I don't really have a good story for that. Because I've been, whenever I was sort of free and I didn't have any commissions, which were like very little, okay. I was just working on the, trying to catch up on the commissions that I owe for the Kickstarter backers.
Okay.
So I honestly, I don't have a really good story. Are you going to talk to Casey Parsons soon on your show?
Well, I interviewed him at the show, actually. We did a...
Did he tell you? Because he did quite an interesting commission, yeah. But that's his story to tell.
Yeah, he did do quite a... He was so embarrassed by the commission that you could see him, like, shrinking in his seat. He's like, I don't want to draw this crap.
Well, but then the guy came back and got another one by him, and he did it, so...
And he did it again, I guess.
Hey,
I guess
he took the guy's fucking money, so I guess he didn't want to not... If he didn't want to do it, he wouldn't take it, but, I mean... It was a very good drawing. It was kind of artsy, but at the same time, you're like, I know what this guy's going to go and do with that drawing. So it's kind of gross.
Right. Yeah. I saw him. I go, like, hey, Casey, what are you drawing? He's like, I'm sick of this.
Yeah. I've had requests like that and I just sort of find a way to not do them, as politely as possible. And I can't imagine what it's like being a female artist because the guys are creepy, man.
Yeah, for real. Any,
but yeah, no, I have no stories of creepy sketches or a funny one.
No, that's okay. Any insider information that you would be able to share with listeners? Something that would like a story at one of the soirees, maybe Jay Clark's soiree. Anything crazy go down?
Oh, let me think now. No, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I don't think anything too interesting. I know that. this is not even that funny of a story, and it's kind of, you had to be there, but we were sitting on the patio outside of the Lucky Clover, the Jay Clark's party thing, and Fearless Fred Kennedy was doing a strut and sitting weirdly in a chair, and I asked him what he was doing, and he was, everyone was doing their impression of Riker from Star Trek on how he walks and sits down in his chair. You ever see that YouTube video where Riker, like, sits weird in the chair? He steps over the chair to sit down, and then when he gets out of the chair, he steps over it backwards, and someone made a whole YouTube video of Riker sitting down. And, we were watching Fred, and a bunch of people do their different impressions of Riker sitting down, which I thought was pretty entertaining. But nothing too crazy.
Was Fred wearing the three-piece suit? I saw a picture of him in a three-piece suit this weekend.
No, he was at the raid party, but at this, the after thing, they went to eat the spaghetti and then, they came to the bar after and he was in just like shirt and jeans or something like that.
Okay.
We did have, we kind of shut the bar down after Jay Clark's party on Saturday and it was, a couple of the raid guys and me and Jeff from the Paradise and Tyrone McCarthy, who I never, it's just a bunch of guys that I never really get to see and hang out with. And there was five of us left, and they had a jukebox, and these people were playing this like really shitty like reggaeton music, and but if on this jukebox it was pretty interesting. You could pay extra to have priority, so you could skip other people's songs. So we ended up playing a bunch of like '90s music to skip their reggaeton, but then they paid to skip our song. So we're having like a little
battle.
Yeah,
it was like
We all bonded over some Counting Crows and stuff like that.
Any Tom Cochran?
We talked about... I didn't play Tom Cochran, but I definitely was talking about Tom Cochran.
Awesome. So what can we look forward to next for you? What are you going to be working on next?
I'm back on Morris now. So it's I got a story with Fred that we're working on. So I'm just kind of touching up that script and getting to work on it. And we're putting together the new Cauldron, which... I'm not going to be drawing or writing anything in there. I'm going to step back and just take the editing role kind of. And, okay. The plan right now is to have that next issue out for March for the March Comic Con.
This is the Cauldron issue?
Show the time. Yeah. The plan originally is like to do two a year.
Okay.
We have been talking to publishers. And so if things go really well, we may speed up that schedule and we might be doing sort of quarterly or maybe even possibly bi-monthly. I'm not sure, but that's sort of stuff that's in the works. That's nothing's going to be done yet, but yeah, we're working on Cauldron. I'm editing that with Sam and Ricky and then, just working on getting the new Morris book out.
And what's in your mind, a schedule for the new Morris to come out?
I'm going to start working on it now. It's probably going to be 50 or 60 pages.
Okay.
Um, I probably will just have it. I mean, if I can get it done before, I'll still hang on to it probably until the March Comic Con and sort of, I like to release books at sort of a major kind of show, something right. like a TCAF or Fan Expo. So if you can tie it in with that, it has a lot of momentum. So maybe for the March Comic Con, maybe even for TCAF. If I can get into TCAF this year, I'd like to have a new book for that.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to it. I really like the first Morris. We need more. A 60 Thanks, issue, yeah. that would be 60 pages, sorry. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, the idea is it would be sort of like a 3-issue mini series, but just in one graphic novel instead of releasing floppies, because I feel like that model's just not for me. I just don't want to be carrying around a bunch of single issues.
Right. Awesome, dude. Well, I'm sure you're going to be on the show in the next couple of episodes, so we'll be hearing from
Goddamn
you soon.
Right.
And we should do a Seinfeld themed episode just for you.
Oh, I'm like right into that right now. I can talk. People who don't know, I did Seinfeld trivia a few weeks ago, and I've just been obsessed. And I thought at this point I'd be sick of Seinfeld, and I'm more into it than ever, actually. And that's mainly what I talk about.
It gets better the more you get into it. It's one of those shows that become more and more funny, I find.
Yeah, it's fucking brilliant. Like, every line Kramer says, I'm just like, Jesus, how do they come up with this shit? It's like just the greatest show ever. So yeah, I'm actually going back because we didn't win the trivia all out. We came top five, which I was super pleased with. So I'm going back and I'm just going to become a robotic encyclopedia of Seinfeld, uh-huh. and I will not lose another Seinfeld trivia. And actually, we're considering running our own Seinfeld trivia because it had quite a turnout, and half the people couldn't get into the bar because of the venue wasn't great. So we might actually run our own, and I can bake some muffin tops and black and white cookies and stuff like that. I'll get really weird with it. We're thinking about it.
That's great. I can't wait to hear more about it.
Let's do a Seinfeld episode.
Let's do it. Yeah, absolutely. Right. I'm in. All right, man. Thank you so much for coming on to the show and giving us the lowdown of what's happening in Artist Alley.
Thanks, dude.
All right, man.
Later.